a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters here in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Michael Wong. The headlines we're tracking at this hour. Coming to China, the country's trial visa-free policy for six more European countries takes effect today. Regulating AI, EU lawmakers endorse the world's first provisional deal to regulate the use of artificial intelligence. And the economics of concerts, as music phenomenon Taylor Swift wrapped up her final sold-out show in Singapore, we explore how big performances mean big business for local communities. Well, China's new visa-free policy for citizens of Switzerland, Ireland, Hungary, Austria, Belgium, and Luxembourg takes effect today. The visa exemption permits people from these six countries to visit China for business, tourism, family visits, or transit for up to 15 days. Now, it'll be in place from March 14th to November 30th, 2024. Now, late last year, the Chinese government announced a similar move for several other countries in Europe, including France and Italy. The first group of travelers landed and entered China through Beijing early this morning on a plane from Brussels.
So I'm from Brussels in Belgium, here in Shenzhen and Guangzhou for 10 days for business. And I think visa-free policy is very convenient for travelers from Europe and Belgium especially.
Visa-free countries continue to expand, facilitating further the exchange of people between China and other countries. Our Shenzhen International Airport Exit Entry Frontier Inspection Station will continuously optimize the processes and minimize waiting time for inspection as much as possible.
And our Giles Gibson visited an airport over in Brussels and spoke with some of the travelers there coming to China.
We've all done it. You're heading to the airport and you tap your pocket more than once, just making sure you've got your passport. For Belgian citizens heading to China, there's now one less thing to worry about. They can visit the country for up to 15 days without needing a visa. Passengers flying out of Brussels on a grey, overcast day told us that organizing a holiday should be as easy as possible.
Sometimes, yeah, if it's too complicated, I'd say, okay, I'll go somewhere else.
We use many Chinese products now, so I think it's only positive news. We can travel more easy to those countries also. It's normal in those days that traveling goes more easy, so, okay, it's logic to me.
If it's about tourism, then yes, the easier the better, I would guess.
Since late 2023, China has lifted visa requirements for citizens from more than 10 countries in Europe, including France, Germany and Spain.
The last few years have been a tricky time for the travel industry and travelers themselves, with coronavirus testing, quarantines and airlines cancelling many routes. But over the course of 2023, many carriers re-established direct flights between European cities and China.
And now that China has lifted visa requirements for citizens from more EU states, there are calls for the move to be reciprocated.
What we see is that countries have made it more easily for Chinese people to travel to Europe, to travel for business reasons, to travel for tourism reasons. So we can expect some changes, but it has to be decided at another level. So it takes usually a little bit more time for changes to come up.
When asked whether China's move will be reciprocated by EU authorities, a spokesperson from the European Commission said last week that they couldn't, quote, speculate on hypothetical scenarios. They added that the EU still sees China as a partner for cooperation, an economic competitor. For now, Chinese citizens are still required to apply for a visa to travel to the Schengen area, which includes almost all of the EU states. In the other direction, the numbers of tourists travelling to China have rebounded since coronavirus restrictions ended, but are still far below 2019 levels. The tourism sector will be hoping that taking visa requirements off millions of European citizens will lead to more tourists touching down in China. Giles Gibson for CGTN, Brussels.
Now, Belgium is one of six countries benefiting from China's trial visa-free policy. China has established visa exemption agreements with 157 countries, simplified visa procedures with 44 countries, and comprehensive mutual visa exemptions with 23 countries. Now, more than 60 countries and regions have offered visa-free travel or visas on arrival to Chinese citizens. The new visa policies have led to a surge in flight and travel bookings. Data from Chinese online travel platform Ctrip shows that travel bookings by Thai tourists to China tripled on the first day of the China-Thailand mutual visa exemption on March 1st compared to the same day last year. Now, according to data from China's Civil Aviation Information Service, UmiTrip, from January 1st to March 6th this year, the number of flights between China and Italy and between China and Spain surpassed those of the same period in 2019. Germany, Malaysia, and the Netherlands followed at around 70% of those levels in 2019, and France at around 60%. All right, for more on China's visa-free policies, I want to bring in Du Jiayi, a research fellow at the Shanghai University of International Business and Economics. Dr. Du, so we see these unilateral and mutual visa-free policies, a reduction in Chinese visa fees, and including more allowed purchases, of entry into China. So what's your take on China's recent measures to promote more people-to-people exchanges?
We welcome tourists from all over the world to visit China. They can enjoy the charm of Chinese culture, discover rapid changes of the country, and experience hospitality of the Chinese people. Tourism exchanges have always been a very important component of international relations and people-to-people exchanges. China these days adopts a more open and a confident attitude to benefit the world by win-to-win cooperation. The world now has greater expectations of China's inbound tourism. Foreign visitors don't only want to visit beautiful landscapes, but also to see people's lives in both rural and urban areas. Their purpose of visiting China is to understand the country and hear its voice. China always hopes and encourages the people of China and other countries to make more visits, contacts, and exchanges, and write new stories of friendships in the new area.
So, Dr. Du, what do the economics tell us about the efficacy of these visa-free policies in terms of promoting more tourism, more trade and business between countries?
For example, the Viking Cruises is already planning to introduce multiple inbound cruises routes for foreign visitors this fall, providing them options for sightseeing in China. China's magnificent mountains, rivers, splendid culture, and high-quality economic and social development are increasingly strong attractions for people across the world. Many countries and regions have established close trade ties with China and have benefited from Chinese goods and services. In addition, we can see the brand power of Chinese enterprises was stressed with steady overseas investment and cooperation. We're also attracting high-level investment from abroad. China is a large market with the most potential in the world. And with these policies, a stronger attraction for international investors, creating opportunities for companies from all over the world.
Well, it's one thing to get a visa for entry. It's another, Dr. Du, to actually enjoy the country on the ground. So what has China done in this post-pandemic era to really ensure that travelers from abroad, when they come to the country, they can have a pretty good and relatively smooth experience?
We are now optimizing each step of the inbound tourism process, streamlining the procedures ranging from the visa applications to flight arrangements, hotel check-ins, and the shopping and the sightseeing. China also prepares for a series of services for foreign visitors, such as tour guides in different languages, catering, accommodation, and retail. And another important thing is domestic payment platforms and enterprises have worked together to simplify the process. Foreign visitors, now they can register for China's payment applications, and all sites of consumption are mandatory for accepting the Chinese currency in cash. detailed measures are being implemented, such as reinstalling and upgrading point-of-sale devices. With the implementation of these measures, foreign tourists visiting China will enjoy the same level of convenience in accommodation, transportation, and shopping as domestic tourists.
All right, many thanks for your perspectives on all of that, Dr. Du Jiayi, a research fellow at the Shanghai University of International Business and Economics. Thank you. All right, still to come here on Global Business. Regulating AI, EU lawmakers endorsed the world's first provisional deal to regulate the use of artificial intelligence.
The world economy as we know it is about to change. Global business reports highlight emerging markets, developing countries, and dynamic sectors worldwide. We feature top analysts and newsmakers to provide perspectives on every facet of business. From an on-the-ground perspective, we provide you with balanced and objective assessments. Fast, sharp, and insightful. Global Business. Only on CGTN.
Well, Europe moved closer to adopting the world's first set of rules on artificial intelligence on Wednesday as EU lawmakers endorsed a provisional agreement. Now, it's called the AI Act. That legislation will regulate foundational models or generative AI such as OpenAI, which are trained on large volumes of data to generate content and perform tasks. It will restrict the use of real-time biometric surveillance by governments in public spaces and in certain crimes. In addition, generative AI systems must now meet certain transparency requirements, such as complying with EU copyright law and publishing detailed summaries of the content used. EU countries will give their formal nod to the deal in May, with the legislation expected to be put into force early next year and applied in 2026. Well, Thailand's economy fell short of initial forecasts in 2023 as household debt weighs on the economy. Now, at nearly 91% of GDP, Thailand has one of the region's highest ratios of household debt, posing significant risks to financial stability and the country's economic recovery. Our correspondent Dusita Saukao has more from Bangkok.
It's a story that is repeated through households across the country. It's one of desperation, helplessness, financial entrapment, and it is often unassuming. Preachapon is a teacher, decent salary, modest living, but always just one big payment away from financial freefall. She took out a bank loan to renovate her house, but that was all it took before it spiraled out of control.
My debt was around $150,000. I borrowed from around 25 loan sharks. It was so easy to get loans. When I had no money, I would get more loans to pay off other loans. My debts piled up.
For the past 6 years, she survived on less than 4 hours sleep each night, working two jobs to keep up with the persistent debt collectors. Access to bank loans are difficult without collateral, so people resort to other means, through loan sharks. A darker industry where the money comes fast, but the risks are high.
When the economy is good, people get loans. When the economy is bad, people still want loans. It's illegal because our interest rates are very high. It's high risk and full of criminals.
Despite outward signs of prosperity, a burgeoning middle class, and one of the lowest unemployment rates in the world at around 1%, Thailand is often ranked as one of the most unequal nations in the region. Household debt has now risen to more than 90% of the country's GDP, that figure among the highest in Asia.
A study conducted by the University of the Thai Chamber of Commerce reveals that over 99% of respondents were in debt. The average debt per household in 2023 stood at around $16,000, a rise of more than 11% from 2022.
Most economists pointed out it's 80% household debt to GDP, but we are way above that threshold. As you get your household debt higher, the economy becomes more vulnerable to shock. Every crisis, every economic downturns, but in the end, if these people suffer facing a lot of burden. Politics will come.
Amidst the numbers, percentages and economic forecasts lies a darker narrative, more complex and intricate than a mere numbers game. It's an alarming yet common picture of households struggling to make ends meet, trapped in a debt cycle, fueled by an elusive underground industry of moneylenders and loan sharks, ready to give that short-term liquidity, but at a high cost. Lucita Sao Gao, CGTN, Bangkok, Thailand.
And up next here on Global Business. The economics of concerts as music phenomenon Taylor Swift wrapped up her final sold-out show in Singapore. We explore how big performances mean big business for local communities.
Whether it's about your education, the home you live in, or the items you buy, your money has a story to tell. Because every business story is a human story. Global Business.
Music phenomenon Taylor Swift wrapped up her sixth sold-out show in Singapore last week. Her Eras World Tour began back in March of 2023 and includes several international destinations, including Paris, Tokyo, and London. However, Singapore was her only stop in Southeast Asia due to a controversial exclusivity deal, which has left many fans in neighboring countries out in the cold.
There was a certain incentives provided to her from our tourism development fund. It really is a post-COVID fund to revive tourism after COVID. And a deal was reached. And so it has turned out to be a very successful arrangement. I don't see that as being unfriendly.
Well, Swift's tour dates in Singapore brought in tens of thousands of fans from across the region, all staying in hotels, eating out in restaurants, and spending much more than a concert ticket. Economists say it could add as much as $370 million extra to the city-state's economy. Now, during the concert period, there was a 186% increase in tickets purchased for Singapore inbound flights compared to March 15th to 23rd. Accommodation bookings jumped almost fivefold. Last year in Los Angeles, Taylor Swift's five concerts created some 3,300 new jobs and generated some $320 million in economic benefits. According to a U.S. Travel Association report, the Swiftonomics effect is estimated to reach some $10 billion U.S. dollars. Well, hundreds of thousands of Taylor Swift fans descended upon Singapore last week for the pop star's The Eras Tour. That's the latest of her tourism-boosting concerts. And as our Yin Junyi reports, while China missed out on the singer's tour this time, her devoted Chinese fans have managed to shake it off.
Singing, dancing, and screaming, 21-year-old Yu Qinghao is telling his friend Liu Zhenyang how his wildest dream came true at Taylor Swift's latest concert in Singapore. They have been fans of the pop star for more than 10 years. For Swifties like Liu, not going to the concert doesn't mean there's a blank space in their fan club schedule. They say it's worth using their savings to show their devotion.
I spent around 15,000 yuan in total, 8,000 yuan for the ticket. My flights and accommodation costing over 4,000 yuan. I hope she can hold concerts in China. But I'm willing to travel to other countries in the region like Singapore and Japan to attend concerts.
For example, holding a music festival, it will cost us 3,000 to 4,000 yuan to design logo and poster. And it's much easier to pack out cinemas for her concert film and make some souvenirs by ourselves. Fans will only need to pay their film tickets.
The visa-free travel arrangements between China and Singapore also made attending the concert more convenient and accessible for her Chinese fans. Many say it's a long-awaited dream come true.
It's very convenient to fly to Singapore. There's no time difference between China and Singapore, which makes it easier for us to attend the concert. Fans like us have been listening to her music and watching her movie since we are young. That really mentally supports most of us and give us comfort. We are willing to use our money to support her.
According to the estimates by Maybank, 7 in 10 of the 300,000 concert goers last week in Singapore were from overseas, including China, spending up to $370 million on hotels, food, and entertainment there. Such enormous and devoted fan base also brings in profits for many other industries.
Today's consumers, especially the young generation, they are more willing to actually spend money on experiences. Things like concert, theme park, traveling, etc. I think all these concerts will bring all those gifts, souvenirs, and etc. Associated with the concert. And I think most of those things were produced in the emerging countries, especially in China as well, in certain parts of China like Pearl River Delta and also Yangtze River Delta regions.
Yu says it will bring a booming opportunity to the manufacturing sector and help to drive more export potential. An economic love story. Yin Zhenyi, ICS for CGTN, Shanghai.
All right, so one of my colleagues actually went to the Taylor Swift concert in Singapore last week. The number one Swiftie in our office, Song Ya, is here in the studio to share her firsthand experience at the show. So Song Ya, welcome. So look at you. You've got the T-shirt on. You've got the bracelets on as well. I'm kind of curious, how much did you actually spend at this concert?
Well, one thing you didn't notice in case... the nails.
Nails as well,
yeah. Nails, one color for each album,
wow.
According to the album cover colors. So I guess I didn't go through numbers yet, but I guess 10,000 yuan around maybe, that's what, 1,300,000 US dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But what I did was really nothing compared to those diehard fans. They come in big ensembles, costume, they spend a ton of money, fly in from further places. So I actually talked to some of the Swifties before and after the concert I went to, and here's a clip I'm going to show you.
Well, I'm from the US, but I'm living in Bali, so I flew in yesterday. For the concert, and my name's Christina.
I'm her daughter.
We're Canadian, but we live in Singapore.
So this time you flew in just for the concert?
Just for this, yes.
Okay, so how much did you spend on this event, except for the concert tickets? Everything but the tickets, you know, the costume, flight, transport, hotel.
I would say it's probably like 2,000 probably.
Dollars?
Yeah.
Okay. How about you?
So we just are
on the cost.
I mean, staying with us. And
I'm in Korean airfare.
This is pretty low maintenance. Yeah. Okay. And airfare.
Yeah.
How long have you been Swifties?
A long time.
I think they know all the words to every song. Yeah.
Good. So what do you think about the event, the concert?
It was amazing.
It was everything you wanted it to be, right?
Okay. Super memorable.
Very loud though.
Yes.
I'm Aldis from the Philippines and roughly around in PHP, around 40,000.
For the concert ticket?
No, for the concert ticket, 10,000. That's all.
The whole thing, flight tickets.
The whole thing, around 40.
Why would you want to spend all that money on this?
It's not a one-time thing, so we have to divide it by months.
So Sonia, I'm assuming you exchange for those bracelets as well, right?
Right.
Okay, sounds fun. So definitely, it's not just about the concert tickets. Mm-hmm. You spent, for example, on the T-shirt as well, but you also did a little trip outside of the concert. Where did you go?
Yeah, it was a five-day trip. We stayed in Singapore for 3 days, in Malaysia for two more days, and we went to a small historic town called Georgetown, Penang, which is a UN World Heritage Town, which, by the way, you would love it. And I never heard about the town and would definitely not go or planning to go if it wasn't for the concert. So you have to see the spillover effect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, definitely a lot of economic spillover effects, right? So, like mm-hmm. you mentioned, you wouldn't have gone to Malaysia if you didn't go to the Singapore concert.
Definitely.
But we also heard that this concert was subsidized to the tune of a few million US dollars, mm-hmm. the Eras Tour. Did you mm-hmm. see that visibly at the concert, this kind of subsidized ticket prices or whatnot?
Yeah, I have a few examples. You know, the Sentosa Island, they have many outdoor entertainment activities on that island. So Taylor Swift concert goers can get extra discounts for those activities. And the government also set up a free baggage storage place at the Marina Bay Sands shopping mall.
Wow.
So yeah, the fans can store their luggage there. And most importantly, I really want to show you this, how they divert the crowd after the concert. You know, people are rushing to the MRT station,
yeah,
their railway. So there's a lot of people, and it's easy to get anxious. The weather's so hot with a lot of people, but they played songs at the stadium, around the stadium, and they had a guy up there giving instructions. So after one song, they'll let certain amount of people in. So they're letting people in sound by sound, and you don't feel bored,
right,
or anxious or angry waiting there.
These are Taylor Swift songs, I'm assuming, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, that's actually very genius, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
So as part of the younger generation,
mm-hmm,
these live entertainment events,
mm-hmm,
how do you see them evolving? What does that mean for local economies?
I mean, I see it a bit differently from a really unique angle. I mean, you and I, we both work in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And with the news of artificial intelligence coming in every day, it can't help but notice, can't help but feel, not feel, worried a little bit. Is it gonna, with those VR goggles, is it gonna change everything, flip everything? Is it gonna make it all meaningless to actually go anywhere, to meet anyone in person?
Yeah.
I gotta say, the live performance, the tour, definitely give me some relief.
Yeah.
I mean, not just yet, not just yet. Maybe someday. Maybe someday they will, but not just yet.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it seems like then Swifties probably won't accept a virtual Taylor Swift concert.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't, right?
I wouldn't.
You want that human-to-human connection.
Yeah. Okay. I want to go another time.
Fantastic. Okay, we're going to leave you there. Thank you so much,
okay,
Sonia, for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you for having me.
Swiftonomics. Thanks. And with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of Global Business here on CGTN. I'm Michael Wong here in Beijing. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time.